Now, on the smellophone, I've got my friend and yours, Delaney Davidson. I'm going to pop a song on. Whoever we chat in a minute.
Walk away from love. Don't trade away the things that you have won for a lonely team of one. Remember just how far that you have come.
Remember just how far that you have come, Delaney Davidson.
I have come very far.
You sure have. Happy anniversary, darling.
Thank you. You too. You've come so far yourself.
Well, we're talking about you today. For those not in the know, wise up quick, Delaney Davidson, one of our great songwriters and certainly one of our finest showmen, is out on the road you're playing songs for those who have been with you this for the journey, right? It's called Anniversaries Tour. Tell us about it.
Well, it's 15 years since Self-Decapitation came out, 14 years since Bad Luck Man came out, and 10 years since Lucky Guy came out. So these albums kind of sit together in a nice way with a bit more ragged approach than what you're playing now with
supplements.
So we're going back to revisit a back catalogue of mine that I kind of felt like was part of the main body of my work up till now, but feels like it never really got a good showing in Aotearoa, being albums recorded and released mainly over in Switzerland and Europe and toured over there.
So
the whole idea of acknowledging the anniversaries of these sweethearts and pulling them a bit more into the public eye was the idea behind the anniversary tour.
Absolutely. Well, I fell in love with your music I did a TV show on Alt TV for a short while, and my whole idea of my TV show was I'd play sad songs on a Sunday, Lovely Sunday it was called, and the video for Little Heart I played every single week. And I'm a mad fan of that song, so I thought maybe I'll play that. We'll play a snippet of that, just because that's from Self-Decapitation, isn't it, 2010?
Yeah, that's definitely, that was in the early days. I mean, that song was written when I was doing a lot of stuff over in the States as well, and part of these songwriting festivals in Wisconsin and working with a whole lot of people, and being a Kiwi, enjoyed my cups of tea, and for some reason stuck a lot of tea bags on the wall of my hotel room and was looking at them, thinking of that line, the tea bag waits as the water starts to boil.
Like, oh, wow.
Strange metaphors of, I don't know, there's a lot of metaphor in water and boiling and pulling tea bags into it just seems natural.
Yeah, there's something else. I mean, I guess another thing about the tea bag, if you were trying to see the future, you know, you can't read the tea leaves because they're trapped in a bag. Maybe.
Yeah, well, that's a metaphor for modern living, my friend.
Yeah, there you go.
The disconnection from the organic ways we used to enjoy of raw ingredients.
Shall we hear some raw ingredients of early Delaney Davidson right now?
Up to you, my friend. You're the DJ.
I'm gonna play some, then I'll just pull it back like I did before, so professionally, and we'll keep talking.
So professional, okay.
Get your hankies out.
Down. Resistance in the
God, I can listen to that song again and again, and I do. I do.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I remember recording it on some clunky old Dobro. That was kind of the demo, and then I went away, and the person, someone played all those cellos on it, and I remember just hearing it and going, I just couldn't believe it, what they'd done to the song with all that sort of harmonic pushing and pulling of the emotions, and that ended up being this. The version on the album was the kind of a clunky demo. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, I love it. Well, you mentioned kind of being a traveling man in this era. Like, you were most people, self-respecting people would know your name these days. And your most recent album did very well. And you've been playing some big shows and allied with some pretty cool names. But back in these days, what was life like for you, and what were you up to?
It was definitely about the journeyman approach, about exploring and finding and just getting out and doing it. That was the era of my life. I don't think I paid rent for 10 years, something like this. I was just constantly on tour, or I was house-sitting or visiting and staying with a friend. It was really definitely about finding my feet in that lifestyle. And I remember my dad saying, "Wow, I can't believe how long you've done this for." And I misinterpreted what he said as, I'd done a great job. He was just saying he couldn't believe how much time and effort and years I'd sort of done that for and put into it. The myopia of it, I think, was what he was commenting on more than the results or the ability. But that in itself, I think, like now when I look back at that time and I go touring or traveling now, I used to be so ready for anything. Like, I played a gig in Switzerland with Holly Golightly, and she was like, wow, that, it was a support gig, and she was like, oh, this is great, you should just jump in the van and come with us. And I was like, okay, just getting in the van and joining the tour. It was really that easy. There was just no one to ask. There was no decisions to make. It was like, follow the music was kind of the way of operating. Just keep following the music. So
love it.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened, and all those albums came out of that, like being in different places and meeting a cello player, and they turned that little heart into what it was, or finding a pedal steel player, and he was magic on You're a Loser, or just all the kind of the meetings of people out and about. And I mean, those people, I've never seen them again, but they're huge parts of the music I made. So it was such a way of life.
Well, I remember working in CD shops and record shops and kind of thinking about your albums as almost like postcards from the road. And, you never know quite when you're going to get one. Sometimes you get two in 1 year. Sometimes you'd wait a wee while. And, yeah, it feels like, your albums were kind of little diaries or something from your road trips. Is it about right?
That's a really good way to put it. They definitely felt like that. And, working in lots of different studios as well, ones in Italy, all the songs, they ended up being compilations, like there was this album has these songs, half of them are from here, half of them are from there, some of them have been reworked on, just starting to record in Wisconsin, finishing off in Italy, calling in some other studio, and one song from a studio in Berlin, or just really the kind of thrown togetherness of them. They felt like maybe scrapbooks from abroad as opposed to postcards, but definitely pulling in all these influences of the places I was going through, or the people I was meeting, or the things that hit me that I would write about, developing the live one-man show. How would that come out on an album? Did those versions ever get to the album stage? And a lot of them never did, but these other songs would sort of turn up along the way.
And so you've explained why you're going on this big tour. Is it a 12-date tour, something like that?
Yeah, 12 shows.
top to bottom around the country. And and cool lineup too. You've got sort of different people playing with you everywhere you go. Tom Lark playing with you on Friday at Double Whammy. And you've got Troy Kingy, Hemi Hemingway. Who else you got? Holly Arrowsmith, Emily Fairlight. But you're a great collaborator. You know, you're always working with people in the most interesting ways. Like, you know, I think you've got a real good way of dragging people out of themselves and, I don't know, holding up a little mirror to them and helping them see different parts of themselves. And your music does that too. Tell us about what's happening to the songs live on the anniversaries tour, these old songs. What are you doing to these old songs? Are you dragging them out of themselves?
We're trying to play them pretty faithfully, actually, which is really bizarre. I mean, Heather's amazing at that. Heather, we're pulling the band together and, you know, trying to keep them on the straight and narrow, whereas I'm probably the worst behaved musician in the band in terms of that. And, you know, Alex Freer, amazing player. Mark Hughes, done a lot of work with him before, so I'm very excited about where this will end up and as we go, how the songs develop as well. I think quite some of the shows, I think we've sold out Pai Kakariki, we've sold out the first Littleton show, we've sold out the late evening show in Dunedin, so grab a ticket, folks, before they disappear.
Absolutely. That's what they should do. We're listening to Dark Horses in the background at the moment. And I'm going to play, if I may, Big Ugly Fish. Tell me about Big Ugly Fish.
Well, Big Ugly Fish was the idea about a song that was just, I had that riff, and I was sort of thinking, how can this turn into a song? And me and a friend were writing about, okay, there's this guy who, he wants to go fishing. He hears a story about a fish that his grandpa tried to catch. And he goes out to try and catch that fish, and when he sees it, he realizes why his grandpa never caught it, because he sees his own face in this face's, fish's face. So he knows he's related somehow to this fish, and he can't land it because he knows that'll be the end of him. So,
right on.
I guess it's symbolic for some wild side of life that you think you want to catch, but if you do, you know it'll be the end of you.
Well,
we were writing that in Wisconsin with Victoria Williams and Eric McFadden. And Victoria, I don't know if people know her, she lives out in the desert, but she... The legendary Victoria Williams. She had this line, it's got to get a bit in the song where it just goes, those eyes, those crazy uncle's eyes or something, you know, like a real a chorus. So that... that ended up becoming the chorus.
Well, I'm going to chuck on a little bit of this, then we'll come back and then we'll round up with some details. And I could certainly talk to you for a lot longer, Mr. Davidson, but we'll pop on a little bit of this next song, come back, play another song, and really get emphatic about people buying those tickets.
Yeah, man, let's get emphatic.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. I reckon there's an argument for doing a very long sort of radio documentary on you, I think, Delaney. But should we revisit that idea later? But if people want to know, I guess the documentary is essentially live on stage, isn't it, with this anniversaries tour?
Pretty much. I mean, come see it, experience it. We're putting a pretty long set together, so it'll be diving into those albums. There's a lot of so much stuff to find in them, you know, all these songs, all these ideas.
Hey, well, I had my own ideas, but what song would you like to go out on? Because we'll maybe one that you're excited to play in the set.
You could go out on Show Me How. Actually, you could do You Don't Want Me Around.
Okay.
There you go. Those eyes.
Yeah.
That was with Grandpa's ugly eyes. So he realizes that the fish is actually his own granddad.
It's happened to all of us, sometime or another.
Yep. I don't get out much doing fishing, I have to say. But
neither do I, to be honest.
You don't either?
No. I don't eat fish, and so therefore I feel like it's like saying a film. For me, it's a little bit like saying. I don't eat people, but I do like to beat them up.
Yeah.
I don't kill people, but I like to beat them up. There we go.
Going with a bow and arrow to the supermarket, shooting the blocks of cheese.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, listen, thank you so much for lingering on the phone with me. Your band sounds radical. The show sounds amazing. Playing this Friday, July the 11th. Who can believe it's July? July the 11th at Double Whammy with Tom Lark. Very cool. He's another great songwriter. And another Cantabrian. Cantabrian.
Cantabrian, is he? Okay.
It's from your part of the world.
Well, thanks a lot, Matthew. Thanks for having me, and thanks for positivity and encouragement. And I'll look forward to seeing you up in
front row
at the gig. Yeah.
I'll be there, front row center. And don't take anything personally when I play this next song. You chose it. It's called You Don't Want Me Around, and I just want you to be rest assured we all do want you around, and we're all going to buy tickets to your show.
Great, man. Me too. I'll go and buy some too.
All right, sounds good. Good to feel good about yourself, eh?
Yeah.
All right, ka kite.
It's a worthy cause. Ka kite. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Wait and wonder, only tears for you tonight. Sugar mama, devour everything in sight. Leave it hanging, and telephone's been dead all night. Is there another? You pass it on, don't make it right. You pass it on, don't make it right. You don't want me around. Sugar daddy, wait alone out in the car. When did it hit me? How did it ever get this far? How did it ever get this far? You don't want me around.
That is Delaney Davidson playing 12 shows, I believe, but most importantly for those listening here, I guess if you're around in Raglan this Thursday, he's playing at The Yard. This Friday, the 11th of July, at Double Whammy with Tom Lark. Now, I got a double pass to give away to you. That's right, you. If you can tell me, you can send in your name, ideally your full name, your name, your B card, and the answer to the question, whose eyes were they on that big ugly fish? Whose eyes were they on the big ugly fish? Let's see if you were really listening. Okay, well,